call Monday, April 2nd Common Council meeting order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
Have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B on the agenda, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and tell us what you want. Any citizen?
Hello, my name is Bill Frank. I live at 4980 West Evergreen Street, and I would like to comment on the agenda item regarding the discussion of the pavilion at Pleasant View Park. I also have a couple of questions that I would like to ask. I'm in favor of having a pavilion completed at Pleasant View Neighborhood Park. However, I, along with other area residents, have some concerns about some of the proposed changes to the pavilion plans. My concern is that the size and capacity of the proposed pavilion will fall outside of the range for what is considered appropriate for a park that has a classification of neighborhood park. I would be in favor of a pavilion that is in line with what was originally proposed for this neighborhood park. I feel that area residents that I have spoken with would also approve. The documents for the park have always called for a pavilion with a square footage of 2,400 square feet. This seems to be an appropriate size for a neighborhood park and also seems to be sized appropriately with the existing park infrastructure, such as parking and a single access road going in and out of the park. Also, a 2,400 square foot pavilion works well for the space that it was designed for, which is the area north of the tennis courts and south of the multi-purpose trail. My first question is, if anyone knows, what is the actual capacity of the proposed pavilion? And the reason why I asked that question is because I've seen some documents, but when you do the math, you can arrive at different numbers. I've seen a certain number of picnic tables, certain number of people per picnic table, certain number of bathrooms, that sort of thing. So I was just wondering if anyone who was familiar with the agenda item for the Pleasant View Neighborhood Park Pavilion had an idea of what is the actual capacity of the pavilion that's being proposed.
For that, I think we'll wait until the agenda item comes up.
Okay. And then another question I would like to have answered at that time, then, if it's possible, is the capacity of the pavilion on par with other neighborhood parks in Franklin? And then another question I had, is the pavilion designed for Pleasant View taking into consideration the classification of neighborhood park? If not, will the proper processes and procedures be followed to change that classification to that of a community park? And then finally, I would just like the city officials to consider that the classification of Pleasant View Park is that of a neighborhood park as opposed to that of a community park, which is defined as a larger category of parks meant to serve a larger geographic area than the surrounding neighborhood. Community parks serve a broader purpose than neighborhood parks and focus on meeting a wider variety of community-based recreation needs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Good evening. My name is Doug Schmidt, 7961 South 68th Street. So kind of unusual looking at everybody from this vantage point. I would like to echo his comments about the Pleasant View Park relating to item G19. I just think that considering that to increase the square footage of that pavilion from like 2,400 to 3,000 square feet is just like an overkill for a neighborhood park pavilion. It just doesn't seem necessary when you've got 45 parking spots on a dead-end street unless you're anticipating an outbreak of bladder infections or something. I don't know that we're going to need that many facilities in there. And I would just because of the people that are here, I would suggest maybe moving that item up for review, G19, for earlier in the agenda. So,
thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Chuck Eggert. I live at 7728 South 51st Street. And you're probably going to hear this again and again with the present proposal as far as that park going into Pleasant View Park. I also believe that it's a little bit overbuilt, especially for that area. And again, I have the same question. What's your actual rental capacity? What's the maximum rental capacity that you're looking at? Looking at the amount of fixtures, the square footage, and also the amount of parking structure that's going to be needed to facilitate something that is proposed like this, it's going to be pretty good size. Where is that balance point between the a community facility versus a neighborhood that's presently going to be affected by it? Your traffic's going to increase. There's always the possibility of crime increasing. I know we have other parks in the area. I'm not against the park, but I am against the size and the present proposal as stands.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Suzanne Mayer, 9733 West Ryan Road. I have a lot of questions regarding an item. I don't think that I'm going to be able to get through it in the 3 minutes, and I'm hoping that the mayor would allow me to hand this out and put it into record and hopefully be able to get some answers back without having to take up the 3 minutes.
Sure.
Thank you. It's regarding item number 12, the authorization to sign professional services contract with Rueckert Mielke for the evaluation phase of Ryan Creek Interceptor odor reduction study and design. I guess from reading through the council action sheets, it seems as though this is a Muskego problem. It's really not a Franklin issue. As stated in the letter in the packet from Rueckert Mielke, the poison in the Franklin residents' home is only an issue when Muskego turns on their system, particularly when the Emerald Park landfill leachate collection runs through the Ryan Creek Interceptor. So the problem is introduced by Muskego through their landfill, and it's been going on for a number of years now. Therefore, I guess I'd like to know, why are the Franklin taxpayers the one having to fit this bill?
Like the other one, we'll answer that during that agenda item.
Okay, well, it's just not in the council action sheet, so it's confusing to me why we would have to do that. Does Franklin have an obligation to pay this?
That's the city engineer.
We don't have to pay it. MMSD has expressed an interest in helping solve the problem. We have to take the sewage, otherwise we have to pay back the Ryan Creek Interceptor. And so right now we are receiving annual payments for the Ryan Creek Interceptor because it serves multiple communities. We have to figure out a way to assess the flow from Muskego.
How is Muskego? I mean, if they're just sending their stuff down the sewer, I mean, I guess why is Franklin responsible for paying for the problem that starts in Muskego?
As you know, we've been working on this issue for several years now, ever since I was started here. So we started out smoke testing, and we paid several little small increments to try to be easy, because we don't want to stink up the whole system. So kind of our good faith effort to do what we can on our part to ensure that the system works well.
Okay, so we've never really had a good working system.
Okay, we're not going to do this.
When Muskego, well, I have my 3 minutes. When Muskego turns on their stuff, we don't have a good working Ryan Creek Interceptor. But when they don't have it on, then our Ryan Creek Interceptor works fine.
Right now, we don't have enough flows to actually make our Ryan Creek Interceptor work. We have 12 homes discharging to a very large pipe, so it basically goes down the pipe and sits there. So we need the flows to actually push it down to the city.
So we need Muskego we need Muskego's crab to make things work. Is the flow from there enough now?
No.
Except that we can't turn it on anyway. We don't really know because it sends poison into residents' homes. Okay. The $10,700 from the sanitary sewer budget, it's from the sanitary sewer rehabilitation issues for the city. Is this money that is just for the Ryan Creek Interceptor? So this is a citywide fund for all issues everywhere. And there's only $170,000 in it?
Each year.
Each year. Okay. So the $10,700 that is in the listed in this item doesn't even pay for everything that's in this item. It only pays for one portion of it. It's the evaluation stage. And the last page or the second to the last page of this says that for the design and bidding phase, which they list all through here, so it kind of makes it look like you're getting all kinds of stuff for the $10,700, is going to be added cost to the contract once you agree on the specific design solution. So this, I believe, is not an accurate motion and kind of a disingenuous action sheet altogether. I know my 3 minutes is probably going up, so I will be handing this out, and I appreciate the fact that these questions will be answered. What I really hope is that this issue gets figured out. I would really appreciate it if Muskego pays for their own problem, and I would really hate it if this issue doesn't get figured out, because we have other projects coming up, and it would really stink if... that's a pun, I guess. Not intended, but...
Well timed.
it was. You know, if these other projects on 76th and Oakwood are affected by this, if we can't get this figured out. Thank you. What do you got?
Okay, anyone else?
But I need it when you're done.
Perry Rosa, 6304 South 35th Street. I'd like to speak to, I believe, the last council item, the Pleasant View Park Pavilion. First, the planning element. For as long as the park plan's been in the place, we've had plans for a 2,400-square-foot pavilion. Now it's 3,000 square feet. I understand the need to spend the $3 million, more or less, impact fee surplus that's around, but... that 2,400-square-foot facility is there for good reason, I think. It's in balance with the neighborhood park, and it's been there for a long time. We spend tens of thousands of dollars, maybe more, over long periods of time to make plans, and we don't just stamp these plans and put them on the shelf. They're there for good reason. We should follow them, and the scale of this facility is what disturbs me. There's 13, let's just call them plumbing fixtures, bathroom facilities. And I looked into the plumbing code. That's enough to accommodate an event for 600 people. And that's a lot of people. That's really out of scale with a neighborhood park, especially on a dead-end street. The street is maybe a third of a mile long, but it's a dead-end street. It's asking for trouble. It's not like there's going to be, we expect an emergency event, but if there is an emergency event, it's going to be a problem. That 800-foot cul-de-sac limit there is there in our rules in city planning for a good reason. There was an exception made in this area, and now we're stretching it for another reason. And I like the fact that there's a pavilion going in there. I think a lot of people are happy, but let's build it at an appropriate scale. There's other needs for parks. There's other needs for other facilities, for landscaping at this park, for other facilities and other parks. There's plenty of things we can spend impact fees on. And I would urge the council to build an appropriately scaled pavilion, which I think nobody would disagree is needed here. And we can make rental income on it. I think if we built a 3,000-square-foot facility with 13 plumbing fixtures, 99% of the time, it would go unused, even with aggressive marketing promotion. And it would sit there. Now, you know, I've been a homeowner. I've owned homes in both Madison and other communities, and that's one of the most expensive things you can spend money on in any structure. So let's build something in balance and spend our impact fees on other things, other improvements. We've got a city almost the size of a township. We've got a lot of other parks. We have a new council member. He's got parks in his district. We've got other things we could probably find to spend impact fees on. And let's build a nice pavilion in this park that people will be really happy with, because I'm sure that we're looking forward to it. So spend the money wisely, and let's not overbuild and build a lot of plumbing fixtures that aren't going to be used most of the time. So that's my piece. Thanks for hearing me. Appreciate it.
Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Debbie Eggert. I live at 7728 South 51st Street. I'm also here to comment on the increase of the Pleasant View Neighborhood Park becoming a community park. Design funding originally was approved for a pavilion similar to, but not the same as, the Vernon Barge Community Park. But after the approval, the restroom facilities increased to 13. The 2014 site plan originally was 1,800 square feet, and now the current plan, again, is up to 3,000 square feet, which you all know, you've heard this. Wondering when this was approved by the public. Who will maintain a building that has 13 restrooms? Do you have adequate staff, people that don't have extra time? I just went to an Easter brunch, and they had a facility that seated over 400 people. They did not have 13 bathrooms at that facility. I also understand that the Victory Creek Special Park, which is part of the original purchase 23-acre site, now called Pleasant View Neighborhood Park, is under a protective easement for flood preservation, and so all that open land is permanently not buildable anyway. I wonder why you would build such a large facility in an area which has one entrance off of a dead-end street, off of another busy street. Making this neighborhood park a community park with a large 13-restroom pavilion means increasing the 48-slot parking lot to accommodate more cars, with the likelihood that possible overflow parking will be on the adjacent residential neighborhood street, Evergreen Street, which also comes with what comes with that, extra noise, litter, maybe even yard damage. And as I'm hearing, the residents on Evergreen Street do not want this, their street to become a parking lot for huge corporate picnics. I understand you have money, which you have to use or you'll lose it, impact fees, but why not take that money and improve some of the current parks that we have in the city with more amenities, maybe more park benches, maybe more playground equipment, or use the money for road improvement projects? There seems like the roads around here are being paved every 2 years, but they're in bad shape 2 years later. The neighborhood park concept fits the neighborhood. It's a small neighborhood. I've gone into that park. I've ridden my bike in that park. I like how nice it is. It's quiet. A pavilion would be great, but not one that big. This is not the place for a corporate picnic. Common sense planning by the council and the park commission makes it more sense than forcing this increase from a neighborhood park to a community park down the residents' throats so you can spend this impact fee money. I have had active shooter training for situations within public schools. Having only one entrance to this park can be a safety hazard if there was an emergency situation, which is a real possibility in today's world. The agenda was actually put almost last at the meeting. School boards are notorious for doing this. They're hoping that the people will get frustrated and not want to wait till the end of the meeting to discuss it and just leave. But I also really, truly believe that no matter what the residents say about this, that this is going to happen. The proof of this will be future Franklin newsletters advertising a new community park. You need to listen to your constituents who vote you in office and hear what they say about this. It's a neighborhood park. It doesn't need to be a community park.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Mr. Slancy, good evening.
Scott Solansky, 8565 South 68th Street. I thought you'd have a cake and some punch. April 4th, 2016 is when you guys passed that PDD 37. So it's been almost 2 years since we've been talking about the ballpark expansion. So I just thought there might be a little bit of an anniversary party, but I guess I was wrong. Anyway, on March 20th, Common Council meeting, I don't think he's here. Mr. Fuchs is going to be the new project manager for the ballpark expansion on the city side. Is there a job description for him?
No.
For this?
No.
So how does the resident know what his duties are?
His duties are to manage the project through the city of Franklin.
So you don't have a project, you don't have a job description for a project that's going to be, what, $100 to $130 million?
No.
Okay. To his credit, the developer had sent a letter to the residents saying that there was any questions or concerns that they should be notified. Is this information going to be relayed back to Mr. Fuchs or someone else on the city side? I'll continue on because you're confused.
Well, you said this information. What information are you speaking of? If there's an accident?
Yeah. Maybe Alderman Mayor, do you want to update the council on that accident on Saturday, March 17th?
Oh, I can do that.
Okay.
While they were cutting trees and grubbing, a piece of metal flew into a neighbor's living room window.
Right. So is this going to be recorded in the future with, like, so we know all the problems that the construction site might have?
Not that specific one, but there is email trails of that incident, yes.
Okay. And then
and just so I know how things get around here, no one was hurt. The piece of metal did not puncture the window. It just broke it.
I have a picture of the window. There's a hole.
Okay.
So I know how things get here, and sometimes, all right. Last but not least, March 1st, I sent everybody in the council an email, and everybody said they didn't get it. And the wonderful underpaid city clerk went and sent it out to everybody on March 14th, and nobody on the council has responded to my email. Is there, guys are really busy, you don't have time to respond to a citizen's email?
I get lots of emails, huh?
The clerk sent it to everybody and put a hard copy of it in everybody's mailbox. On the
who is it that you would like to have answer that?
Anybody?
Who is it that you'd like to have answer that? How about one person so we don't have seven people worried about answering your email?
Okay. Why don't you answer it? It's only four questions. It's not really tricky. It's just four questions. Okay. Sometimes citizens would appreciate if someone would at least respond to an email that they sent to them that's already over a month old.
Okay, I'll take care of it.
I know you're busy. I think that's it. You have a great night. And again, wish we had the cake and the soda.
Thank you, Mr. Slansky. Anyone else?
You got matching shirts. John, you got a matching shirt.
Just one other item. Suzanne Mayer, 9733 West Ryan Road. I kind of want to just let you know a little bit about the history of the Pleasant View Park. I was on the Park Commission the last 2 years of my aldermanship, and when we were there, we had multiple meetings regarding purchasing land. If you look at some of the maps, all the parks that we do have are north of Ryan Road. So in the developing or soon-to-be-developed areas of Franklin, there's no parkland. And we had talked about purchasing land, especially, we had talked about specific properties. And I guess what I would ask is that I understand the impact fee issue. I lived it. But I would just appreciate spending that money really wisely on things that we really need. 13 bathrooms, a larger than normal pavilion probably isn't the way to spend it. That park could be planned out very nicely with some of the items that have already been planned there or maybe some new items. But I just think that plumbing is a really expensive item, and if we can save a lot of money on that project and some of the other projects in that park, we can start purchasing land. I would, I guess, like to ask why those meetings and why that idea at the Park Commission stopped, why we weren't talking about purchasing land anymore. And I would think that that would come from the top. So I guess I just ask the mayor, what's your feeling about purchasing new land, and was there anything that you had to do with stopping those conversations at the Park Commission?
That's an interesting way you put that question. Appreciate it.
Yes, I personally determined that we were going after way too much parkland in the south side of the community with no one there. And, in fact, we do have, what's the total?
262.
We have 262 acres about to come online, most of that in the 6th District.
Buildable?
How many parks are buildable?
Can you build a pavilion? Can you build trails? Can you build...
Yes, you can build trails.
Play structures?
No, you can't build pavilions.
Okay, so no play structures, nothing buildable but trails.
No, on some of this you can build some facilities.
Okay. Well, I would just like to go back to what the Park Commission had really tried to do back then. I understand we're not going to build on those right away. Pleasant View sat there for how many years without much on there? So we do get two things, but I think now would be the time to buy the land before it's either gone or so expensive that we can't afford it. So I would appreciate if everybody would start looking into that. Thanks.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I'll close the public comment.
Hey, Mayor. We did have a request